Good day, and welcome to the Essentra conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Colin Day, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Well, it's Colin Day. I have Anurag Patel from M&A and Stephan, who's not in the office today on another line listening in. Go speed, IR. So, as you've probably all seen, we've announced today that this, the signed transactional event of sale of Porous Technologies. We signed a definitive agreement to divest to the Filtration Group, which is part of Madison Industries, a U.S. corporation, who I have to say have done an excellent job in working with us to make this transaction happen in quite a good expeditious timeline. So I'd like to just place on record my thanks to Larry Gies, President of Madison, for making that happen with us. Transaction values for Porous are $220 million, free of debt, cash. It's $215 million now, cash on completion, $5 million on a three-year promissory note. And of course, like all deals these days in the modern complex world, it's subject to customary closing conditions, including clearance from certain competition authorities and some corporate reorganization in certain jurisdictions of the existing business, mainly in the Far East. So we expect this Porous business to be part of Essentra for all of remainder of 2016, and the Porous management, together with Essentra corporate management, will be making sure that the business is conducted in the ordinary course and in line with good business practice to A, derive shareholder value for the Essentra shareholders, and B, to make sure it's handed over in the agreed state to Madison Industries. It may well be that it passes slightly beyond 2016. That just depends on the clearances and reorganization, but we are targeting to try and get it completed by December year end, if at all possible. So a little bit on the summary. As many of you know, we talked about having a corporate review of businesses and strategic review, I think the words were, way back when we did the strategy day, and we reiterated that with the full year results, and we reiterated it again in July. And this meets that objective of the strategic review. We think that the Filtration Group is well positioned to further take the Porous Technologies business forward. If you look at the Madison Industries Group, they have their Filtration Group is a collection of filtration type businesses, and they're building a strong platform which I think will be successful in development of the Porous Technologies in its wider sense, and will probably give the business a bit of a boost in terms of investment and R&D, and fits a little bit more with their strategy than ours. As I've said before, if you look at our portfolio, Essentra, we are moving down a high volume, relatively low R&D innovation platform route, looking for operational gearing. The Porous business is not quite that anymore. It's more R&D, longer gestation period, projecty. And I just think that as we go in one way, the Porous business is best suited with a group like Madison Industries, and certainly with somebody of the leadership of the gentleman who runs the business, who I was very impressed with, to take it forward. So I think that's basically the background to it. I'll come back to what we're going to do momentarily. I think the value is, I'll use the word compelling, for shareholders. It's valued at 12.5 times June 2016 LTM op profit, and certainly, as we've talked before or inferred before, we will use the proceeds to pay down existing facilities and perhaps or fund further value-creating M&A in the SBUs, mainly around the packaging and the components side. So that will reduce, as I'm sure some of you have already worked out or have read, the pro forma half-year 2016 net debt down to 1.4 times EBITDA. Financial impact, Porous business, despite us disposing of it, did have good profitability, so there will be some EPS dilution on 2015 actuals of about 5.5p, 5p on the LTM for June 16 actuals, That's before any redeployment of capital. It does also create a significant book gain in excess of $100 million. That's subject to the customary completion adjustments, foreign exchange, and lawyers' expenses and things like that, but it should be in excess of $100 million. Just to complete, summarise it again, Porous is good business. I've enjoyed working with the Porous business. It is a leading developer of custom vapour fluid handling. It has a good leverage in terms of technical expertise to react to customer requirements, whether they're large jobs or small projects. But as we continue to evolve, it just fits less well, as I've said, in our wider group strategy. And that's why we feel that this is the right move for us. I'd like to thank, again, on record, thus far, and I know I can count on the support of the Porous Technologies employees worldwide who are affected by this. In sort of making sure we continue to drive the business forward, and B, in the transition to their new home as part of the filtration group of Madison Industries. So that's the sort of key metrics. There is, I think we've talked about the financial impact. We've talked about the rationale. And on that basis, I've just handed over to any questions that anybody may have. So, any questions?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. And again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Silvia Fateva from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the question. First, I just want to ask around the M&A versus delevering. Obviously, the balance sheet will be in quite a comfortable place. So is it safe to assume from kind of 2017, you'll be much more open to perhaps doing some more bolt-ons? And again, just to double-check, I know you've made the same comments less than a month ago, but that would still be distribution probably first and then HPC. And then secondly, taking the business out of the group, does that leave any holes in terms of, I don't know, e-cigarettes? Obviously, we're using some of the Porous technology and also shared facilities. Anywhere do you need to kind of reinvest or basically scale down in any regions? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sylvia. The bottom line is, let's just try and answer these in sequence you asked them. The first is, as I've always stated, we will continue to invest in growing the business. Indeed, Anne I, who's sitting here, is already thinking about the next projects that we can invest in terms of in the component side and or the packaging. And I don't think we differentiate or have one of those horses in front of the other, so to speak. I think we see both areas of the business as prime candidates for bolt-on M&A. There are a number of projects that we're looking at. Clearly, this situation gives us more flexibility to conclude in those areas the opportunities that we've been working on and we see out there. So I don't want to preempt or I'm going to give any more colour to it than that, but clearly debt reduction is the first order. Once we've got it down to about this 1.4, and hopefully with the cash generation in the second half, it will improve even further. We would then be in a strong position to undertake, the drive for 2020 to make further acquisitions. So, and that's what we will do, assuming the multiples are right, assuming the prices are right, assuming the fit is right. But I don't see anything other than bolt-ons at this stage in either of those businesses. We do not expect to be making any acquisitions in the core filters space, and that's been consistent ever since I've been here. That's not an area where we see we need to do it. As regards your question appertaining to e-cigarettes, SND products, Porous technology, our Porous business has been working with us in the filters side in terms of, if you like, subcontracting some components or making components as part of the essential strategy. We have service agreements in place for that to continue, so I'm not expecting anything to change there, and we will review those between signing and completion to see how viable they are with both parties, but I expect what would happen post-completion is that those arrangements would continue in a subcontracting capacity. So I'm not too concerned about that. As regards facilities, that's clearly been thought through, and there are some TSA arrangements in place, and there will be some, there won't be a shortage of facilities, clearly, because most of the sites are, incorporated in existing porous and or essential sites, so there will be a little bit of work to free up some capacity, mainly in the Far East sites, but I don't see that as insurmountable and it's not very significant, and that's all factored into the, the cost of the book gain, if you like, in our mind. But so it won't require us going out buying new sites or investing loads of money in for new facilities. Quite the reverse. It may well free up some capacity that will enable us not to spend on other capacity needs going forward in certain markets. So I don't think that's an issue. I think that were your questions, Sylvie?
Yes, that was all. Thank you very much. And finally, maybe just to double check on guidance and current trading. Obviously, you've not made any comments. Presumably, that doesn't change anything given
the change. No, I mean, as I say, we have it for 2016, the previous communicated guidance, and what we said we would be doing for the second half year all stays in place.
Thank you very much.
Be included.
Thank you. We will move on to our next question from James Beard from Numis Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. A couple of quick questions. Just wanted to check whether you perceive there to be any sort of regulatory risks to this deal actually completing, given the sort of time frame that you've set out there. And from a modelling perspective, just wanted to check whether there are any tax rate implications going forward in terms of modelling tax in 2017 and beyond.
Okay. On the first question, I'm trying to think of an appropriate answer. Somebody much cleverer than I, who I know quite well, who announced his results yesterday, actually could probably answer that better than I, in the sense of the unknown unknowns and what you don't know you can't. But I guess where I'm at is we don't perceive any regulatory hurdles that are going to derail this from completion. I think the issue is all around timing and how long it takes in one or two of these countries. Mainly, if you think about the porous business, the bulk of it is in US and Germany, and they are relatively easy to transact with the transfer. So I don't expect any issues there. The remaining businesses are in places like India, Indonesia, China, where things will be, they're all manageable, there's no problem, but it's just going to take a little longer, and that's been fully understood between us and the purchaser. And that's why we think it's going to take probably, to at least year end to get it, to be on the safe side, to get it completed. So that's, and I think it's all process. I don't think there's anything there that's going to derail it at all. And if, quite honestly, if there was one small piece at the end of this that was outstanding, I'm sure as we've conducted these discussions and transaction over the last few weeks, the seller, that's us, and the buyer, that's Madison Industries, will sit down and we'll figure out a workaround. So I've got every confidence that this will get completed as it's been signed up to. On the tax rate, nothing major there. I mean, if anything, it should ease the tax rate down a little bit for us. On a currency base, just off forgetting the tax for a moment, probably lose it to about 19%. On the currency, clearly, with the earnings in this are dollar, euro, are the primary currencies. So there's a little bit of earnings, perhaps, dilution if the rates stay, earnings impact in terms of the currency movement, but I don't think that's very material at all. So I think we've indicated what the dilution is before reinvestment, and that's either reinvest in funds, but if I believe what I believe in the paper that RBS are going to be charging to invest cash, then maybe we better invest it in something a bit more profitable than putting it in the bank. So I don't think that's a major issue. Positive on the tax. It may well help us on the interest rate with the covenants, things like that going forward, because we certainly will be freeing up more headroom. And so I think it's a good deal for shareholders, as I've already indicated.
And just to clarify, you anticipate that this deal will be completed by the end of 2016?
I mean, that's 4 or 5 months. That's a bit of a... I mean, I'm targeting that. We've got a little bit of a longer stop date in there because, you know, but clearly I don't expect it to be completed before the end of 16. That would be a good date to get it done. It's clean for all round. It complies with our financial year. It would just be easier if we could get it done. I think clean set of numbers. I'd certainly like to have it done by the time we announce the full year results. So everybody can sit here and see what, you know, the cash has come in, the net debt's down. We can talk more openly about reinvestment, et cetera. But it will get done when it gets done in the timeline we've agreed, and we'll be starting immediately on getting that actions completed to get the so-called reorganization and, you know, the legislative aspects of this in certain countries implemented. You know, we only got this thing signed at 3:51 this morning, so just give us a couple of hours to move on. Please.
Right, thank you.
I can blame the lawyers for that. I've never done a deal yet where it hasn't finished at 3 or 4 in the morning, but I'd like to sort of say thanks to my guys for seeing it through to 3:50 in the morning. Quite unbelievable, really. But that's so, you know, give us a few hours, catch up on some sleep, and then we'll be flat out on all the other aspects to make it happen.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now move on to our next question from Pranav Kiran from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Morning.
I think the rationale for the transaction has been laid out. I'd like to ask if there are, you see further restructuring in terms of headcount changes going to the second half and next year. And about the pipe protection business, in the light of oil prices, how has trading been in the business, and how do you see that playing out in your full-year results?
Okay. Let me deal with the pipe protection first. I mean, the oil price is now about $50 a barrel. That's Brent, West Texas. I've got West Texas in mind at the moment, WTI. But it's about $50 a barrel. We see some small signs of improvement, but I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, new life has been pumped into the old dog yet, so to speak. I think that this business, I don't change my guidance or view on pipe protection either long-term, strategically, or short-term. Let me just clarify what I mean by that. Long-term, it's a great business. This was doing 80-odd million in 2014. We targeted $100 million, this is, in 15, and we're now doing a princely sum of 20. So $20-odd million. So, you know, and making no money. So I think the worst is behind us. I expect the second half of 16 to index at least flat to the second half of 15, or maybe slightly stronger, but it's relatively small change in the great scheme of things. When it comes back, it will come back with a positive vengeance. But, and, you know, it will be a $80, $90 million, $100 million business making about 25, 30% again. So the bottom line is that's the long-term observation of what I think this business is. We're going to stick with it. And there are no plans to divest pipe protection at all. I'm not going to, you know, having taken all the pain, pass this over to somebody else for a low value because of the state of the market and miss all the upside. I don't think that's in the best interest of shareholders, quite frankly. So we will stick with this business because we are one of the major players in it. There's our 3 or 4 major players in the world. We've got, you know, a 25-30% share. We have all good contacts with the customers. We'll stick with it. And that's the right thing to do. In respect of your other question, we announced at the half year that we would be looking at further headcount reduction. That is in place. That's got nothing to do with pipe protection and has nothing to do with porous. Will there be additional heads impacted as a result of the porous sale to Madison Industries. That's always possible, but they will be in the administrative and back office areas, which we would have to look at, which are not. So these will be people who are not part of the poorest business, but are supporting in some peripheral way, perhaps, which might mean we don't need that level of headcount. And I've been totally open about that, and we will look at it quite closely. And if that's the case, then we will take further heads out of the business to match, you know, the needs of the business. But I would not expect that to be a significant number of people. Maybe something in the finance, HR, maybe IT, some support areas. But it's hard to tell at the moment. We need to sit down and see how that evolves in the next 4 months. But I'm not expecting it to be major. I mean, it might be a handful of people, you know, worldwide. That's it.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, if you'd wish to ask a question during the Q&A session, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now move on to our next question from Jolyon Wellington from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
A few questions for me, please. Just in terms of the strategic direction of the group, you'd mentioned before there were businesses that you were looking at disposing of. Just wondering if you feel that with this disposal, that is everything done in terms of rationalizing the group and making disposals, or whether there are any other businesses that you think might need to be disposed of?
Yeah, valid observation question. I guess let me answer that in a couple of parts. It might sound convoluted and contradictory, but hopefully it will get us there. The first thing is, it's hard enough finding decent businesses, so the compelling reason to sell a good business has to be very compelling, if you see my point. You know, that maybe the devil in what you know is better than the devil you don't in many cases. Corporate M&A is littered with it. So we didn't divest the poorest business lightly. We took a long time to think about it, to pressure test it, you know, to really feel this was the right thing to do. But I genuinely felt, as did my colleagues, that we had other areas of the business to invest, you know, capital resources in. And we couldn't scale the poorest business to the same extent that an organization like Madison Industries could do. I mean, just by background, and I'm quite open to say it, about 18 months ago, Madison, a company called Porex, which is a comparable business to Porous Technologies, was put on the market. And we looked at that, and we actually made what we thought was a fair bid for it, and Madison Industries bought it. So, you know, Madison have nailed their colours to the mast in this filtration space, and once I couldn't get Porex, you know, I thought it was difficult to see how I could scale that business effectively.
Mm.
So, you know, reluctantly, that's where we got to, and they're good people in our Porous business. They're very loyal, very committed, and they've got good products, but I can't scale it, or I don't think I could get the scale returns that perhaps, you know, Madison Industries as part of their filtration group could get. As regards the other side of that question, well, as you know, in a PLC, our job is to, you know, do the best for the shareholders. And if either somebody made an approach for a part of or all of the business, whatever that means, or we felt that another part of the business would be best suited from a shareholder return standpoint elsewhere, then we would look at it and we would do what we felt was right. The board would do what we perceived as right for the shareholders. At this juncture, I don't see anything in the portfolio of a significant nature that would lead me to believe that we would wish to divest anything else.
Okay.
I mean, not at all, quite frankly. Other parts of the business is doing okay. I think we've nailed our colours to the mast in terms of the packaging space, in terms of the component space, and in terms of our filters business. We've said we would not do any further M&A, but the filters business is enjoying reasonably good returns, and I think with that hiccup of the first half year is behind us and starting to recover nicely. So, you know, I think that's where we stick. We have an extrusion business, which sits within the component space that is enjoying extremely high growth, as I said at the half year. And, you know, if anything, I would like to see if we could expand that slightly through some sort of small bolt-ons, but that needs to be carefully managed. We are on the lookout for M&A now in the core space of components and packaging, and I wouldn't rule out if we saw a high-volume essential business B2B space like we operate in, doesn't have to be components, doesn't have to be packaging, doesn't have to be extruded parts, that we would not be sort of remiss in thinking about that was a strategic opportunity to perhaps just do what we do best, but in a slightly different business unit, if you see my point, i.e. another leg.
Interesting. And just two more. What, in terms of the cash flow characteristics of the porous business, does the disposal of this business mean there are any changes to what you'd expect the group consolidated cash flow conversion to be, please?
No, not really. I think no is the answer. If anything, it probably might improve it because the porous business ties up cash flow a bit in terms of investment, R&D, things like that. But if it did, we're not talking hundreds of millions of improvement. But I don't think it'll have any downside at all into the operating cash flow characteristics of the business. I mean, clearly the porous business is profitable. We don't have receivables problems in the porous business. Don't have payables are sensible terms, quite well balanced. I don't think it's going to materially move the needle one way or the other. I'm sort of just glance at Anoi. You don't know. There's no Anoi sort of confirms my statement there. So I don't think.
Yeah, it's Stephanie. I agree with that, Colin.
Okay, thanks. So Stefan is not in the office today, as I said at the beginning of the call. So feel free to chip in.
And finally, just in terms of the multiple of the business, 12.5 times on a trailing basis last 12 months to June 16, I note from the disclosures that that is slightly below the 12 months to December 15 in terms of operating profit. Do you have a feel for what the multiple is on a forward-looking basis, please?
Right at this moment, no, I haven't. That's not because we don't have it. I just don't have, because we have it because we have the forecast, etc. But I don't have that number top of mind. As I say, we finished at 3:50 in the morning, and I don't think that was top of mind. Unless Stefan, you have it top of mind.
Yeah, I think it will not be far off from the LTM multiple.
It will be somewhere between the LTM and 2015. Yeah. I don't want to be held to that on this call. Yeah.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to turn the call back to Mr. Colin Day for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, just a couple of observations from me. First, I'd like to repeat my compliments to Madison Industries and their president of the company what I think was highly organised and quick process work. I mean, as all these things don't pass without their moments, but I was quite impressed with their approach to this and speed. And openness, transparency. So I'd like to express my positive there. Also to our people who've worked on it. And I can't really let this call go without mentioning the fact that, you know, our advisors, Lazard's, helped us on this, did a good job, and our lawyers, Slaughter and May. But mainly our people who are involved in this, I'd like to say again my thanks to them. This concludes one part of what I see as a 3 or 4 part process, big sort of ticket object, strategic objectives. A, get the debt down and align the portfolio. That's now done. I think you can see that the debt reduction is quite significant. I think we've got good shareholder value, and we're now set up to carry out the second part, which is reinvest into the M&A objective for the drive for 2020. And I think that will be positive. You know, I hope that you can see that we're now back on the track to do that with sensible bolt-ons. I think also we continue to work. Another third strain of this, if you like, is to make sure we deliver the performance we've set out to do. and we are working hard to make sure we deliver that for 2016 and set us up nicely for 17. Really, this will be in the 16 numbers, but there won't be any porous in 17 other than maybe a short stub period, but it will be perceived as discontinued. We don't expect any material exceptional items in the second half year. There might be some appertaining to this, but I don't expect it to be very material, though I'm speaking aloud, really, which is a dangerous thing to do. And finally, we continue to look at, you know, the organisation structure, et cetera, to make sure we've got the most efficient business going forward. So we're set up to deliver 2016, as I've said, and beyond 2017. And thus far, we feel fairly good about where we are. So this is just, you know, a committed, we did say we would do this. This is a commitment I made to the city to deliver, get debt down, align the portfolio, and start to reinvest in small bolt-ons to help us grow. And I think hopefully you would agree that this is a good deal for shareholders and sets us up nicely to continue our strategy. So if there's nothing else, I'd like to say thanks to all, and thanks for partaking. And clearly, you know, I'll be talking to our employees, both in the Porous business and other parts, to reassure what this means to them and their contribution to us, and also for the Porous people, Madison Industries, going forward. And I'm confident that they will be able to make a big success to it. So thank you very much for your time. And if there are any questions, feel free to come to myself or Stefan or Joe Speed over and above what we talked this morning. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.